We have been getting acquainted with the area, learning our way around. We have visited some really interesting places. I think the two favorite things are the beach and the redwoods. There's been several trips to the beach. It's kind of easy when you live just 10 minutes away. We lived about 6 hours from the beach where we came from. Not that easy to go to the beach. And we did not have redwoods like you have here. We had some places that we like to hike through, some trails through the woods, but nothing like what we have here in this part of the country. And we even got to see the Battery Point Lighthouse. And I'd like to say more about that sometime. There were some great lessons that I learned while we were taking that little tour. I was asked if I could share a message on the topic, overcoming trials and tribulations through faith. Overcoming trials and tribulations through faith. As I thought about that, I asked myself, what scriptures are the most helpful on that subject? And I actually went through and found many scriptures. And there's a lot of Bible passages and Bible promises encouraging us when we face trials and tribulations. And it would be impossible to give a sermon on all of those in one sermon. But I was reminded of one particular scripture passage about overcoming faith that was written by the Apostle Paul, and we've had a portion of it read this morning in our scripture reading. And so we want to turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And we will begin in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul had almost died. In chapter 1, he told his readers there in Corinth that he had had a crisis that had caused him to even despair of life itself. In chapter 1, verse 8. We don't know exactly what kind of crisis it was. He doesn't tell. We know that he faced all kinds of challenges and all kinds of problems. But whatever it was something that hadn't happened that long before, and it was fresh in his memory, and he mentioned it briefly in chapter 1 of his epistle to the his second epistle to the Corinthians. And so he had a testimony to share. And we want to notice in chapter 4 a statement of faith that he makes, which is one of the strongest statements of faith in the midst of a trial that we find in all of the Word of God. An example of faith through tribulation, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. If you're looking on in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1113. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Now that is a statement of faith and confidence in God in the midst of trial and tribulation. Hard pressed on every side, it would seem that Paul was constantly facing different types of problems. A variety. Perplexed, but not in despair. Paul had times when he felt uncertain, when doubt pressed itself in on his mind. Have you ever had times like that? You didn't know what to do. Very perplexed, very confused would be a good word to use. And yet, he was not in despair. Persecuted by all kinds of enemies, even sometimes by those who claimed to be his friends, but not forsaken. Ah, that's a reminder of all the promises of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Not forsaken by God. Forsaken by people, yes, but not by his best friend. Struck down, but not destroyed. If you read all of the statements he makes here in 2 Corinthians, including those that preceded this verse, you find that the problems that he was having were mainly about his physical well-being. He was physically sick, possibly physically injured. The challenges were wearing out his body. And so there was all kinds of issues that he had to deal with, but he somehow was able to maintain his emotional health, his emotional strength. When he speaks about not being crushed by all kinds of hard pressures all over, that's talking about being happy, even in the midst of the trial, or at least being able to continue to trust in God. Emotional soundness, not losing his hold on God. When he talks about not being in despair, even though he was perplexed, there was a peace that remained, even though he was facing all kinds of problems. And as he goes on, and all of those are there, I'm reminded of a man who was trying to get to the West. We came West here a little easier than the pioneers did, although sometimes I wondered if it was going to take us as long as it took them. But in the early days of immigration to the West, a traveler came for the first time in his life to the banks of the mighty Mississippi River. There was no bridge. Like, we went over the bridge. There was no bridge back then, but he must cross. It was early winter, and the river was sheeted with ice, but he didn't know how thick the ice was. Night was coming on. He needed to be getting on his way, getting across. He couldn't just stop where he was. Perplexed. Finally, with a lot of fear and caution, he got out on his hands and knees and tried to distribute his weight as evenly as he could and make his way across in this painful way. And after some time, and he would tremble at every crack of the ice. I would too. And then he began to hear sound behind him, and it was the sound of singing. And he looked behind and he saw a 4-horse load of coal driven by a black man. And the man was singing as he went across the river. And suddenly he realized ice is stronger than I thought. And he stood up and he walked the rest of the way. Relieved, perplexed at first, but not in despair, especially when you realize how strong the ice was. The Apostle Paul wrote that there were some benefits to his faith through these trials. If you take a look there in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 10 and 11, God was revealed by maintaining faith in trials. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So his experience was revealing God to people, the life, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, as he experienced the providential care of God getting through these trials. And it's repeated again in verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Through his life and experience of faith, the life of Jesus was revealed. We had an opportunity to get a glimpse of this just recently and even today through the experience of a friend of ours from West Virginia, Krista Dale, a mother of four boys ages 8 to 17, was diagnosed 5 years ago with cancer. As the years went by, it was a slow type of cancer, and she grew progressively worse. But she was a woman of faith. And we remember a year ago, June, at camp meeting, 2017, Krista was already in a wheelchair by this time, but she wanted to come to camp meeting. She didn't want to miss it. People wondered, you know, in a conference like West Virginia, Mountain View Conference, people know each other throughout the conference. When you've only got less than 1,000 active members in a whole conference, you know, our camp meeting was huge. We have like 500 people at the camp meeting. Now, I understand you have a few more than that here at the Gladstone camp meeting, but for West Virginia, that was big. And she didn't want to miss, and she was there, I remember, 2017, helping to put, even though she was in a wheelchair, they'd get together, you know, at the campsites with the RVs and chairs and potlucks and everything, and helping to get things cleaned up, even with her wheelchair. And as this year progressed, 2017, 2018, Krista continued to face the challenge of her body wearing out and dying. And we had the opportunity to visit her home earlier this year. And the day that we were there, by that time she had lost the use of one arm. But she didn't let us stop her. She baked 12 loaves of bread that day. And she gave one of them to us. And she got out in her wheelchair and doing gardening in her yard with some help from her mother. They all lived on this big 100-acre farm property with more than one home on the property. Krista's faith was an inspiration to everyone. Jesus was manifested in her, to her church there at Summersville, and to everybody who knew her throughout West Virginia. And today is Krista's funeral. She passed to her rest a couple of days ago. But she was an example of faith through trial, of the power of Jesus Christ to give us spiritual life and to give us a smile and a hope. And if we were to ask her, if we had the opportunity to ask her, what is your secret? I believe that she would say many of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote in this passage in 2 Corinthians 4. And Paul had some secrets, and the passage reveals them. Paul, what was your secret? How could you be such a person of faith? We find these secrets in the verses that follow. The first one is in verse 13. If we want to learn how to hold on to faith when we're facing problems and trials and tribulations, we must learn to talk faith, to talk belief. Verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. The Apostle Paul was a believer, and he spoke his faith. Have you ever heard someone who was going through a trial, and maybe you ask them, what is it that you're going through? And they tell you, and they say something along these lines, well, it's difficult, but I believe that God has a solution, and there's a solution in it somewhere. It's amazing. It lifts you up. I like to collect little quotations, and one of my favorite ones is, if you have time to worry, you have time to pray. I'm reminded of a statement that I read in a book with a red cover. Talk and act as if your faith was invincible. When you're going through trials, talk and act as if your faith was invincible. Why? Because we are influenced by our own words. If you say, I know the Lord is with me, you are influenced by that. And it's the same if it's the opposite. If you talk about wondering where God is and how you're going to make it and filled with the spirit of doubt, you're going to be influenced by that as well. But learning how to believe and to express our faith, to talk faith. The second secret that I find in our passage is to learn how to overcome trials through faith by remembering that Jesus is on his way, that Jesus is coming. It's right there in verse 14. Knowing, now that's faith, isn't it? Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Now that's a reference to the resurrection at the second coming of Jesus. You know, the New Testament mentions the second coming or an event associated with the second coming in every single chapter of the New Testament. There is a statement about it. It's one of the major themes. The resurrection. We believe and proclaim the Advent hope, that is the hope of the coming of Christ. We believe and proclaim the Advent hope in an age of hopelessness. That is God's call to us. You may remember the song by the Chuck Fulmore Trio, Never Give Up, Jesus is Coming. Do you know how that song was written? Or what was the crucible of trial that caused that song to be written? And I wish we could put the video up here of Chuck Fulmore telling the story, but they lost one of their children when she was young. She stepped on something sharp in the backyard, and they went to the hospital for a routine, taking care of it, and she got worse, and in a couple of weeks, she died. And Chuck Fulmore, when he was able to get himself together, wrote the words to that song, and it has become a favorite among those who heard their ministry in music. Remember that Jesus is on his way. Sometimes our situation may be so bad that that's the only thing that we can think of. But if we have that, we have everything. We may not have it right now, the realization of it, But we have the hope of looking forward to an event where we will be reunited with our loved ones. And I would encourage you to read a chapter in a book called Great Controversy, God's People Delivered. You know, those last couple of chapters, the last few chapters of that book, are better than any Hollywood movie when it comes to the power of what is coming and the wonder of spiritual realities that will find their fulfillment in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember the resurrection. Remember Jesus is on his way. Is there another secret? Yes, there is. The third secret to overcoming trials through faith, and I want to say this one cautiously and carefully, but I think it's practical, is to get your mind off of yourself. Is that in the passage? It is. To begin to think about something other than the problem, for us to get our minds off of our problems and onto God's solutions. Take a look at verse 15. This is a mission statement. It is a description of a mission focus. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes. That is, all things that he was doing, writing this letter of 2 Corinthians, writing 1 Corinthians, starting the church in Corinth, spending a year and a half, continuously praying for the church at Corinth, sending messengers, making sure that the ministry continues. All of this service is for your sakes, the apostle wrote. Service, but something more than just service. That grace, having spread through the many. So service leads to grace and blessings for people, many people. And then it leads to something even better than that. Having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound. And then God is glorified to the glory of God. Amen. Paul was going through some really hard times, but he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about others. And as we live a mission-focused life, we will find that these wonderful promises are very real. And you may have known people like this where if you get a phone call from them, you know the very first thing you're going to hear is a crisis they're going through. I don't know what I'm going to do. And sometimes a burden every time. And I say this with compassion because I have been that kind of person. And I have been the type of person sometimes in my life because of challenges that I've faced that all I could think about was my own problems. But I learned that when I learned to minister to other people, I discovered that I can forget about my problems. I was sitting at my desk at the church in Hemet, California, many years ago, and there was all kinds of paperwork that I had to be doing. There was some deadlines and administrative work, and I was behind, and the phone rang, and I was told that a certain church member was in the hospital. Would you please go and visit him? And I remember thinking, this is the worst possible time for me to get a request like this. But I had learned and I had committed to ministry, and so I left my desk, I got in the car, I drove to the hospital, I walked down the hall, I went into the room, and here is this parishioner, this friend, laid out on this hospital bed, tubes going everywhere, flat on his back. And all of a sudden, my paperwork was forgotten. My problems didn't seem as big anymore. And I thought, thank you, Lord, for calling me here to this ministry today to get my mind off of myself. When you're ministering to others, you discover that other people have problems too. And friendship is a wonderful thing. It divides our grief, helps us to have people to help bear it. And it doubles our joy when we share blessings with one another. Getting our minds off of ourselves, helping others. The secret of happiness, a quote says, lies in helping others to find it. And thinking in terms of a mission in life. At a Chinese restaurant, I got a fortune cookie one day, and I like to collect fortune cookie quotations, and this one I saved into my wallet. It's about a mission focus in life, and the fact that even if you don't see great results on a particular day, you can still remember that you have a mission and you're still doing the mission. How? Here's the quote. Judge each day not by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant. Can you plant seeds every day? You can. You won't get a harvest every day, but you can plant seeds every day, and you'll get more of a harvest the more seeds that you plant. Is there another secret? Yes, there is another secret to overcoming trials through faith, and that is to know that the trial is helping you to grow. We like to talk about character growth, or this phrase, character transformation. That's a major theme in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it's a wonderful thing that we can grow in our characters. To know that this is helping me to become a better person. It's helping me to become more like my Savior. Sometimes people get discouraged because they think they're not perfect. And I'm the first one to tell you I'm not perfect. And my family could tell you I'm not perfect. But we've been married for 16 years now, and I am thankful to say this much. I'm not perfect, but I'm not what I once was. I hope my wife would agree with that one. I'm not perfect yet, but I'm not what I once was. There's been some improvement. There's been some growth. Take courage in that. You may have some problems that have come into your life and given you lots of trials, but I'm reminded of the dog that fell into the well, and some people came along, decided that it was not a good well anymore, and started throwing dirt in to fill it up. And all of dirt's falling on the dog, and he shakes it off, you know, every time they shovel in a new load of dirt, and the well keeps, the dirt keeps rising, and the dog somehow rises in the process, keeps shaking off the dirt, keep rising, until finally it's almost filled, and the dog jumps out of the well. Because of learning how to relate and think of the fact that he was actually rising and not being destroyed. The old Review and Herald from 1871 had an interesting little quotation. This is an anonymous, but it says, "A certain amount of opposition is a great help to a man. Kites rise against the wind and not with the wind. Even a bad wind is better than none. No man ever worked his passage anywhere in a dead calm. Let no man wax pale, therefore, because of opposition. Opposition is what he wants and must have to be good for anything. Hardship is the native soil of manhood and self-reliance." There was a field just a few houses down from the house that I grew up in Upland, down there halfway between Los Angeles and Loma Linda. And we got a lot of wind coming through, and one of my favorite things to do when I was in grade school, it was after school, to go down to that field and take my kite. And I had several different kinds, and I especially liked this box kite. It was heavier than the others. And I learned how to get that box kite up into the air and into the wind, and it would catch the wind, and it would fly. And I would take, you know, spools of string, and like four or five of them, and let the kite get as high as it could go, and tie another spool way up. And I never complained about the wind. I was always glad that it was there. Remember that a kite flies against the wind. If you're facing a trial, it can be a blessing. Is there one more secret? Yes, there is one more secret to learning to overcome trials through faith. And this one has a real benefit to it that can actually cause us to feel that our problems maybe aren't so big after all. And that is to look at the unseen, to keep our eyes on the invisible realities. Verse 18 of chapter 4. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we look at the spiritual things, and these are things that are not like something that you can see physically, we are enabled to get a different perspective on the trial that we're going through. Take a look at verse 17. It won't seem so big after all. Verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." You remember Paul said he almost died from whatever it was that he'd faced. But now he says it was a light thing and it was only for a moment. How could you view it that way, Paul? Because of what he was looking at. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What are the unseen things that we can look at that will make a difference in our lives as we're facing trials of different kinds? The Holy Spirit. As we pray for the Holy Spirit each day and say, "Lord, take everything there is of me. May the Holy Spirit have all of me." We're praying about something that we don't see. And you might even think that you cannot see the power of it in your life because there still are mistakes or still are faults or whatever like that. But God is able to see what He is able to do. He is able to see what we cannot see. It's an unseen thing only to us. We don't see Jesus literally here with us, but we can see Him through the Word of God. We can read of how He related to people. We can read of what He is able to do for people. And we can trust that He's the same Savior on the throne today as He was when He walked the streets of Capernaum and of Galilee and of Jerusalem when He walked on this earth. We don't see the second coming today, but we believe it by faith. Amen. And we look forward to it. We don't see the improvements that are being made in our lives today, but we believe that they will happen by the grace of God. We don't see the people who are blessed through our faith and through the experience that we're going through, but God sees them. and we trust that God is at work and God is going to bring blessing to others. It's wonderful when we find out that it has been a blessing, but we learn to trust even when we cannot see. And I close with a poem. This poem is entitled God Knows by Minnie Haskins. And this is a favorite poem that is read at New Year's time because it's a new beginning. But any new beginning is an appropriate time to think about the words of this poem. I said to a man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than the known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and he led me toward the hills and the breaking of the day in the lone east. So, heart, be still. What need our little life, our human life, to know if God hath comprehension? Whatever it is that we're facing, it may be individuals here in the congregation or someone that you know and love, and it affects you as well. Let us trust in the grace of God. Let us look to Jesus. Let us continue believing. And the same faith that the apostle had can be born in us. Amen. The same courage and the same witness for Jesus Christ. For we have the same hope in the same Savior who someday is coming again. Amen. To change everything. And we can believe in that by faith. Amen.
I know God lives. I saw so many little children up here today, I wanted to dance. How many were thrilled with me to see the children up front? Isn't it nice that we can sing to them because God lives? Shall we stand before our Maker? God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy it gives. But greater still, The calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And
God go before you to lead you. God go beside you to comfort you. God go behind you to protect you. God go under you to support you. God go over you to shade you. God go within you to transform you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.